And Patrick's just going to pray.
Jesus, I want to thank you so much for this church. I want to thank you so much for Daniel. I would like to ask you, you will be present here, Holy Spirit. Please talk to us through Daniel today, because we are hungry for your words, for your presence. Please, Jesus, talk to us, be with us today. Please bless Daniel, and thank you so much for him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Patrick. Okay. For those who were here last week, I'll just do a very brief recap. You'll remember that I started, kicked off a new series, started a first talk, but didn't get very far because we ended up with a lot of sharing in terms of going deeper. So I'm just going to try and pull together that. I'm not going to speak for long this morning, I hope. And apart from anything else, I'm not sure my voice will last out. But I was thinking as I sat down after doing the DC stuff, one of the things that went through my mind was, I love this church. I love the family feel that we have. And it's a challenge for us as we grow, which we will grow, to keep that family feel as we grow, because so many churches do grow, and then it's difficult in the structure to keep a family feel. And it's a great challenge for us to make sure we keep a family feel in the midst of growth, but that typifies it. So we got my PowerPoint. We're looking at a series, and I did say it's around this whole triangle, which most of you have seen before. Love God, love the church, and love others. And we use this as a regular tool just to say, as a church, how balanced are we as a church in all of these areas? Is everything that we do about one area and forgetting another area? As small groups, again, you know, are we balanced in what we're doing? Are we all about inward, or are we, you know, balanced in outward as well? And as an individual, are we balanced in what we do? So, next slide. We're looking over the next few weeks at these three areas, and taking 2 weeks to look at the love of God. And this, as you heard, is the second one. Next slide. We looked at the number one commandment is to love God with all your heart, and with all your mind, with all your soul. We talked about, if we want to really love God, then we've got to know God. And then we began to look at, what does that mean? How do we get to know God? I talked, if you remember, about my relationship with Elaine, about how I got to know her, how I get to know her more, and how that is ongoing. So those were the things that we were looking at last week, and touching on the fact that we need to spend time reading his word on a regular basis. And then we, next slide, talked about the whole thing of going deeper with God. If we want to love God, we need to know him, and we need to go deeper. And that's a summary of where we got to last week, really. So we're really looking at this. How do we go deep with God so that we can love God more? So, next slide. Anybody tell me what book we're going to? Psalms. The palms are singing. And so we're going to Psalms. So if you want to take your Bibles, we're going to Psalm 1. And I wonder if somebody would like to come and read the whole of Psalm 1 for me. Yeah, whatever.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you.
I had my best ecclesiastical voice on.
Very good. Should have been singing with it as well then. Good. Okay. So, next slide, please. We'll move on quickly. Psalm 1, if we walk in God's ways and not the ways of the world, we are blessed. I'll talk about that in a minute. But clearly there's two ways in that psalm. We see on the slide there, two paths. The way of the wicked, the way of the righteous. And it says, walk, stand, sit in the way of wickedness. I want to touch on that a little bit as well. But it talks about delight in the Lord and meditating on his word. I want to concentrate on the righteous, but I do want to touch on this way of the wicked. I think it's interesting that it says walk, stand, and sit. For me, there's something progressive about that. If we take the walk bit where we're just generally flirting around with the things of the world, we're not in it, but we're not really keeping ourselves from it. There's something about us that's just on the edge of the things of the world. And I see it so much where people say, well, it's all right, isn't it? It's not that bad for me. I can do this. I can cope with this. And I know I won't go any further. We flirt with the edge of what the Bible says is wickedness, things of the world. We start to live our lives the way the world lives rather than the way scriptures live. We're all right. But then it says it gets to the point where we begin to stand. We're not on the move anymore. We're very close. We're in amongst it. And then it says we get to the point where we sit. And suddenly, we're in it. That's progressive. And I don't know whether you've read it in that light before, but as I prepared, I saw it in so much of a way. Again, partly because I know some of the things that I'm dealing with day in, day out, where I see people move from walking to standing to sitting. Do you know what? Once they're in that position of sitting in the wickedness and sitting with the wicked, it's hard to get them back. And those who have to deal with that day in, day out will recognize what I'm saying. We can see it. And I just want to encourage you, when somebody in your discipleship, even if somebody just begins to challenge you about just little things, that just watch those things. Don't dismiss it, because you very quickly start to move from the walking, the standing, the sitting. We don't want to be anywhere near that. My old uncle, who was my pastor for many years, used to tell a story. I think I've told the story here before. He used to say about the guy who went to get what would now be the job of a chauffeur for an important person. But of course, in them days, it was horse and cart. So the guy said to him, first contender, he said, how close could you get my cart to the cliff? How close are you? He says, oh, I think I could get it within a couple of feet. I'm that confident in my driving. Oh, very good. He said to the next one, how close could you get to the cliff? Yeah, I said, better than him. I can get you within a foot. Really confident in my driving. And the third person said, he said to him, how would you do it? He said, I'll tell you for now. He said, I've stayed as far away from that cliff as I can. And the guy said, you've got the job. That's how we need to approach it. We stay away. And we keep ourselves clear. You DC us as you go back to where you're going. You've had a year of being very close to God. Keep close. And keep far away from anything that will take you away from that. But our delight should be in the Lord and meditate on his word every day. Next slide. And it says that if we do that, the leaf does not wither and we bear fruit. As we spend time in God's word, as we spend time getting to know him, he refreshes us. Do you know what? Even whenever I was at Burtley weekend, life's been so busy lately, I've lost track. But I sit with people and talk to them, and I sat with somebody over the Burtley weekend, and this guy is doing some great stuff, doing what he sees as ministry, doing charity work every hour of the day. And when I sat with him, he was worn out. And it was very clear he had no time really for refreshing himself in the Lord. And he was doing what he felt was good things. He was doing what he even felt God had called him to do. And yet, his leaf was withering. And eventually, there would be no fruit. And I had to say to this guy, you know, just look at the Bible. Look at Moses. Look at what Jethro said to him. Not even sure Jethro was a believer. Doesn't make it very clear, but he certainly could see that what Moses was doing was foolish. And yet we think we can do it. We think we can run forever. We think we are the answer to the world. We should all walk around sometimes with Superman t-shirts on. What will this ministry do if I step out of it? What will happen? It'll all fail. I'll let you into a secret. It won't. It'll go on. And I often think for myself, probably do even better. Especially if I start to think I'm the answer to it. But we can wear ourselves up out even in good things because we get so busy. We don't take time to just be with God, to read his word, to be refreshed. We want our leaves to be green and fruit for our lives. We need to be like the man who was planted beside the water, constantly drinking in, constantly taking in from God, not just giving out. I just want to say a few things really about how we do that. I touched on this last week really, that we really need to prioritize. I know this is very simple stuff and the stuff we've done before, but it's one of those things I said last week we need to keep coming back to. We need to prioritize our quiet times. We need to guard them. First of all, we need to really understand that we need it. And that psalm says it all. We need it. We want to stay fresh. We want to stay, you know. I can tell sometimes when people are not getting the quiet times, when I feel a snappiness come from them. We get snappy. We get like Martha. Why don't you help me? Why am I doing all this? Mary says, chill. Bit of a paraphrase, but you get the idea. We need it. If you're getting a bit snappy and a bit tetchy, just check whether you've been reading the word and whether you've been spending time with God. We need a personal devotional time. Otherwise, we'll be dry and we'll be thirsty. But if we do, we will become firmly planted, not easily uprooted, and even circumstances around us will not take us down. Now that word blessed, it says blessed is the man. Does that mean that everything will be great? Does it mean we'll have no problems? Absolutely not. But within it, we will be blessed. We can have all sorts of turmoil going on around us and still be blessed. Our Leanne, some of you know, went through an absolute torrid week just the week before last. My daughter, we just stop the tape for a minute. Even in the times that we're in now, I was pleased that Joey prayed the way he did about the times that we've been in the last few days. I want to let you into a secret. God's not fazed by this. No. He knows what the outcome of this is. He knows where we're going. He's in control. If you want to have your focus on something, I said last week, don't focus on what's happening with the government. Do you know what? They'll sort it all out. Focus on Reading and what's happening there. And let's, as I said, let's pray that that sweep comes through. And if, you know, if nothing takes us to our needs for prayer, this should, you know, it shouldn't take us into fear. It should take us into prayer. It should take us to our knees and say, God, bring the revival that we so badly need here. I've heard so much said about either way of the outcome of this thing. Sorry, I'm massively off my notes now, but never mind. I've so much said about Great Britain being great again. But I'll tell you, Great Britain being great again, in my mind, is not about us being the powerful kingdom that we were. It's not about us having the great political say that we have in Europe. It's not about us being financially stable. It's about being a nation that honors God. If we want this to be a Great Britain again, we need revival. We need, out on those streets, people being healed, people being saved, people being transformed. That's Great Britain. So don't stand in fear, because actually, we are the ones who can take something different out into there. So pray. Interesting, we've got Sarah here this morning who's in the midst of it all. Pray for them. Don't know what she does, go and ask her over lunch. No, you're not staying for lunch, are you? But before she goes, ask her. In the heart of what's happening there. We need to pray, but we need not to fear. God's in control. Not Boris. So, getting back to what I'm meant to be preaching. We need to be daily seeking God in his word, worshipping, spending time with God, so that we are not dry. I'm going to throw my notes away. So that we're not dry, so that we're not thirsty, but so that it will bring strength to our spiritual bones. And we will be like a spring that never fails. These are the promises that we see in God's word. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. Seek everything else first, and you'll miss the kingdom of God. I want us to understand that as we try to do our quiet times, as we try to push into God, we immediately enter into a spiritual warfare battle. Because the forces of the kingdom of darkness do not want us to spend time with God. In little ways, we will be attacked when we try to push into God. I don't know whether you're like me, but when I have my quiet time, I can suddenly find myself with my mind wandering. I suddenly think, hang on, I'm supposed to be praying, or I'm supposed to be reading my Bible, and I'm thinking about all the things I've got to do today. It's just a little way of distracting you from what you're doing. Or, you know, the classic one nowadays, isn't it, is, well, I've got to do my quiet time, but I read my Bible on my iPad. I just check my email. I just check Facebook. And an hour's gone, and you think, man, I haven't got time for quiet time anymore. Recognize the things that will rob you and deal with them so that we get stuck into what God does. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Jesus, it says in Luke 2:52, he says he increased his stature. How? By spending time with the Father. Early in the morning, Matthew 1:35 says, Jesus rose and went to a lonely place to pray. And so do we need to. I could go through, I've got lists of them here, of different characters where it says they prayed. Paul, David, they were all known for their time of spending time with God. And that's what made them who they were. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by God and is profitable. If it's profitable, we want to get hold of it. We want to understand it. We want to know it. We want it in our hearts. I'm going to miss all of that out. I want to just give you some practical things as we, I'm conscious as well that we want to get the lunch as well. Some practical things about your quiet time. Because sometimes, particularly if we're new Christians, it helps just to have some things laid out. Choose a time that suits you. You may be a morning person. You may not be. You may be one of those people who, when you get up in the morning, the best thing we could do is keep out the way for 3 hours. And evenings might be better for you. Choose a time that works for you. I prefer mornings. I love to get up in the morning, and Elaine will know that if she gets up after me and I'm in the lounge and I'm sat in a certain chair with a cup of tea and my iPads and various things around me, she knows I'm having my quiet time. So I love to do it in the morning and take it into the day with me. But choose a time that works for you. But whatever you do, choose a time. Don't try and find time. Make time. Don't get discouraged if you miss now and then. It's like riding a bike. You get back on again. You don't think, oh, I was going to do it every day this year and I've missed 3 days already. Get on and do it anyway. God loves people who persevere. Choose the right place, somewhere you won't be distracted by people or surroundings. And pray before you start reading that God will speak to you through the reading. Not just dive in. God, I want you to speak to me today. As I read your word, speak to me. And expect him to speak to you. If you expect him to speak to you, you'll have a pen and paper ready to write down what he says. Little practical things. Use a plan. Have some sort of plan for reading. Don't be those who just dib in here and there and hope you get a good verse that fits what you want that day. Read through in a structured way. There are so many aids to reading your Bible now. You know, one of the ones I'm using this year is the YouVersion Bible. Most of you are familiar with the YouVersion Bible. It has a Through the Bible where you do some of the Old Testament, some of the Psalms, some of the Proverbs, some of the New Testament. The great thing I love about that is, rather than having the... I used to do it years ago. How many used to do it years ago with 4 bookmarks in your Bible, and there's just bookmarks sticking out your Bible, and then they'd fall out, you think, where the heck was that? Whereas actually this one, as you're reading it, it's ticking it off for you. But there are plenty of aids out there to help you, but do it methodically. Do you know what? If you do it methodically, there's no way of looking for the right verse for the right time for the right situation, because you read whatever you're reading that day. We used to, how many of you are old enough to remember promise boxes? Yeah. You know what a promise box was? A little promise box with a little box like this, and lots of little scrolled up verses with lots of promises, and some of them were good and some of them were not so good. And people used to think, this was people's, all they had for the days, sort of vital spiritual food, was to go to the promise box and get a little pair of tweezers and pull a little thing out and pull it out, and if they didn't like it, they'd roll it, put it back and pick another one. We can't live like that. Heard about the person who wanted a verse from the Bible. Judas hung himself. Whoa. Go thou and do likewise. Seriously, we need to live with a way of reading our Bible that will be helpful to us. Do a system. Don't be legalistic. What do I mean by that? I say do a system, but if you're reading the Bible and you've got your set verses for the day and actually God suddenly highlights something, don't think, well, I've got to do my readings. Stop. Let God speak to you about that verse. If you spend the rest of the day in that verse, do you know what? Your Bible reading pattern will be there the next day. But listen to God. Let him speak to you. And expect it in some of the strangest places. I'm reading through Ezekiel at the moment as part of my readings. And how many of you know the first part of Ezekiel's hard going? It's like all the doom and gloom. I can't wait to get to 47. And I'm nearly there. But even in some of that, God has been speaking to me and challenging me. Look for God in everything you read. I'm one of those that could see God in all sorts of things anyway. So, I just look, and sometimes people say, how do you see God in that? So, well, I look for him. Don't be legalistic. Keep letting God speak to you. Read other devotional books alongside your Bible as well. There are lots of good books out there that can help you. You can learn from what others have read and learned. People out there know a lot more than me. Include some worship. I've said this before to people, and people say, but I can't play the guitar and I can't play the piano. Neither can I, really. I do the best I can. But you can put a CD on. Let God wash you in worship. Often best to do that before you even get into the Word. Let's just worship. Enjoy God. And then go into the Word and see how he speaks to you. I love to spend time at the piano when I get a chance and just worship. And then at the end, make sure you're thankful. Thank God for all he's doing, for all he's said to you. These are very simple things, but they're important things that will help us to grow and to go deeper. And then as we grow and we go deeper, we'll have no problem loving God. We'll have a desperation, that, like that verse that says, I'm so thirsty, I just long to get back into the presence of God. Oh, if we got to the point where instead of not having time for the devotional because everything else is getting in the way, we haven't got time for everything else because the devotional's taking up our time. We need to spend time with God if we want to grow and if we want to go deeper. And God's been speaking to us so much about going deeper. So much. Just go back and read through the prophetic words. Constantly saying, I want you to come deeper. I want you to go out, but I want you to come deeper. That's just very clear message we are getting. And we need to do both. We need to go deeper and go out. Go deeper, go out. And keep doing both. Next slide. This is my final slide, because I've chopped loads out. Finally, to love God is to obey him. Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You want to love God? Do what he says. You know, my kids, I loved them when they were little. I loved them whether they were naughty or whether they were good. I still loved them. But you know, it's far easier to love them when they were good. I've been away in France with about 60 years, six kids. It was far easier to love them when they were doing what we were telling them than it was when they were going wild like some of them were. God wants us to do what he says. And he only tells us to do what he knows is good for us. Because we sing it so often, don't we? He's a good, good father. Fathers only want the best. So if we really love God, we'll do what he says. What he's telling us at the moment, again and again, as I've said, is come closer to me. Come deeper with me. And then go out and change the world. So how are we going to do it? Are we going to, from today, set our minds, set our vision on going deeper, knowing God more, loving him more, so that all we hear in the next couple of weeks about loving each other and loving others, we can do out of a place of being so close to God that it just oozes out of us. There's your challenge. God bless you.